The 539th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to Cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, MLB, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code MMASGPN and get a 100% deposit match. And we're also brought to you by the premier arbitrage sports betting tool, AVO. Use their tool to bet against both sides and lock in a profit. Access their platform for free at arbsversusodds.com. Once again, that's arbsvsodds.com. Plus, in honors of Masters Week, the Golf Gambling Podcast guys are giving away a TaylorMade Spider X putter for free. Enter today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters.
Hi ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 539 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This episode, it's a dual dedication, a co-dedication. Nora Conole, Charlie Campbell. We will explain why very shortly. Thank you for coming to the show. I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. Wasn't too chalky again last night. Hit a couple of big dogs. One much, much bigger than the other. We will get into that very, very shortly. This is our UFC fight night, Allen versus Curtis 2 recap episode. And wow, what an event it was. I was just thinking as it was happening that we hadn't seen that the judges' decisions had been pretty good as of late. And then we had some controversy last night. For the most part, I think the right people won, save for maybe one fight, at least according to what media members think. The right person won, save for one fight. But we shall all get into that. Let me bring in this superstar here. This man hit his lock. He hit his dog. And he hit a plus 450, I believe it was. Yes, 450 prop. It's the one and only Daniel Gumby Riven, not just for regional MMA anymore.
Plus 400 prop as well, if you want to count half the hungry man. Cesar Almeida by KO as well.
You should have hit the full hungry man. That right hand of his was hitting.
He kept winding it up, man. I thought about this afterwards, and maybe we're jumping ahead in a little bit in the breakdown. Maybe people really want to hear the breakdown of Alex Morono versus Court McGee more than anything in the whole world. I will just say, I almost wonder if that neck surgery that Court McGee went through has helped his chin a little bit. Does it make any sense that it would?
If
you were really stiff in your neck and then you got touched on the chin and didn't have the flexibility or mobility to really turn your neck at all, like, maybe that's why he got knocked out twice in a row. And maybe now this is saving him. Now, granted, you know, he said in his interview that he kind of thought he would be able to hit double legs better and be able to do some things better. And I think he looked better than he had in past fights, but it didn't look like, you know, wildly different. But maybe the chin's the one thing that's going to benefit from all this.
Yep, it is true. It very well could be. So sadly, Court McGee's a good guy, so we don't really want to see him get knocked out, but for our sake, we also did want to see him get knocked out because
for our 14-1 sake.
Yes, exactly. But nonetheless, it was a good night anyhow, and it seems that when I was popping in and out of the Discord, it seems everyone just loved Gumby Vreeland last night, right?
They did. they did seem to.
You were just like, what, were you just giving out bets willy-nilly and everyone was hitting them, or were they?
No, I mean the Charlie Campbell decision, right, while being wildly sweaty. Because let me tell you something. I go back to my original point. I don't think you can kill Trevor Peak. I think he's unknockoutable. He also seemed to be unsubmittable too last night, which was wild. But at the same time, like, at any moment, it seemed like he could knock out Charlie Campbell, or the ref might step in just based on the onslaught of Charlie Campbell. So, like, I mean, it was a sweaty one. But, yeah, plus 450 there, plus 400 on Cesar Almeida. I don't have to hit a lot else in order to look good. So,
no kidding. Like I said, Gumby Vreeland, not just for regional MMA anymore. Maybe you're good in all phases of MMA. Who's to say?
Maybe.
We should keep talking about ourselves because
people like that.
Yeah, people like that.
Well, we're actually talking about fights this time, but so you know, there's something there.
Now I'm going to change. I'm going to talk about golf. because as Gumby told you off the top, oh, look at that. People on YouTube see that. Look at that beautiful putter. In honor of Masters Week, the Golf Gambling Podcast guys are giving away a TaylorMade Spider X putter. You can enter for free, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters. And attention, is San Diego. Sean and Ryan are going to a special Circa Sports watch party starting Tuesday afternoon, 4 p.m. at Swing Social. Free drinks for anyone wearing Cubs or Padres gear. Grab a cocktail and say what's up to our bosses, Sean and Ryan. Are we going to make the trip to San Diego on Tuesday? No, actually, I'm busy Tuesday night. Damn. I can't make the drive to San Diego, Gumby. Too bad.
We'll be too busy breaking down CFFC 131.
Yeah. Plus, if I drove to San Diego, I wouldn't be back in time to do UFC 300. This is the week, Gumby. 300. Have you heard? It's the biggest fight card ever.
I have heard. It's pretty good.
It's all right. But notice that they aren't not really hyping up what's actually on the main event or anything, because it's like Jamal Hill's half the main event. It's just like the posters are just UFC 300. It's not like, hey, look, there's Jamal Hill on the poster.
Yeah, I've actually seen a couple of like little graphics that they threw up last night that had like one half of every fight, which is like kind of a weird move. Somebody's like, hey, they spoiled the winners. And I was like,
yeah, maybe.
Kind of weird that they would do that. But hey, you know, yeah. They don't knock us.
Maybe it's not the biggest fight card ever. Maybe that's why they're doing that, perhaps.
I don't know. It's up there, man. Like in terms of name quality, the deepest fight card ever. Yeah. It might not have like the bangers at the top, but it is definitely deep.
But speaking of bangers, boy, last night, eh? What a banger fight card.
There were good fights.
Yeah, there were good fights. It was UFC Fight Night, Allen versus Curtis 2. The rematch we didn't know that we wanted. It was actually a good fight. Good fight. We lost a fight before it happened, a fight I was going to get another leg up on Gumby in. Pierre Rodriguez was going to starch Cynthia Calvillo, but Calvillo came in overweight. Calvillo can't keep it around now, can they?
I can't imagine she's
still five straight losses. She's missed weight three times now. They
pulled out the day of a fight.
Yeah, and they shouldn't let her fight at a strawweight to begin with, but yeah.
No. And she can't win at flyweight, so.
Yeah, exactly. She missed weight. Alexander Hernandez missed weight. Nora Connolly and Melissa Mullins missed weight. Connolly claims that they planned that in advance. So whatever. Not a good look, though, regardless, whether you plan in advance or not. Do you think we're going to get more of weight misses now that there's no more women's featherweight? Like now that women are being forced to bantamweight?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how many of those women at bantamweight are like in danger of not making that weight all the time. Yeah. You know, I can imagine, like, you know, we've seen it before where a fighter calls the other one up and is like, hey, I'm not going to make 135 or I'm not going to make 185 or whatever. And the other one's like, cool, you want to just come in at 88 together and we'll, you know, take 20% of each other's purses. And then that's fine. And so like, if that's truly what happened here and she made it so that Cornelia didn't have to lose the last few pounds, like that's fine. I don't mind that.
There you go. Gumby doesn't mind it. We'll see how Kayla Harrison does this week. Speaking of cutting to bantamweight. So, all right. Main event last night, an exciting main event, Brendan Allen, Chris Curtis, split decision. I saw it coming. I smelt it coming. And lo and behold, it was 47-48, 48-47, 49-46. Judges were, like I said, for the most part, the right fighter won, but there was a lot of screwy scorecards in the process. This was one of them. Maybe not. This was a close fight. I could have seen Curtis winning 4-1. I could have seen Curtis winning 3-2. I could have, maybe not Allen 4-1. Maybe that is a screwy fight card. But perusing media scores and stuff, everyone had Allen winning the fight. It was hard to say. I wasn't really scoring it, I don't think, in real time to really make a super definitive decision on it. There's a lot of healthy discourse in the inner Discord. Discord is a weird place. People have like intelligent debates with each other, and it doesn't.
And then they say sorry and stuff. Yeah, like that.
Yeah, and then they like, no, we're good, bro. And they don't like name call. It's very strange. Anyhow, if you're into
you
that
guys.
Kind of,
I love nuanced, you guys Discord.
If you're into nuanced debate, minus the name call, and then our Discord's place for you. So yeah, people had various opinions on it. I think a lot of it was maybe tinged with a little bit based on who you bet in the fight, but anyhow, it was a close fight. I don't think we can say a robbery nonetheless. I did win -200. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think this fight, first of all, I think Chris Curtis did more and should have won.
More damage,
I think the shots landed for him. The problem is the optics of it. And I kind of saw this coming all along, is that, like, you know, let's take that third round, for instance. You know, two judges did give the third round to Chris Curtis, which I think is correct. But one judge didn't give the third round to Chris Curtis. And he had Brendan Allen really wobbly. Damn near took him down with a shot. You know, he's barely hanging on. And then he winds up on Chris Curtis's back for like 2 minutes. And don't get me wrong, I'm all for like giving, you know, positions that are close to submission, you know, some credit. Like I think that should be weighed like damage. That's effective grappling, right? Like effective grappling isn't just hitting people. It's getting close to a submission. But I don't think he ever really got close to a submission. And then you got the big Chris Curtis bomb on the other side, seemingly not counting for as much. And I think if you look at, like, you know, particularly rounds four, I think that round you could say similar things about. Like, I think that the cumulative strikes of Chris Curtis were far more damaging than those of Brendan Allen. And I don't think the grappling was enough to win him the round. So I had a 2-3-4 for Chris Curtis and 1-5 for Brendan Allen, which is what that one judge scored it for. But I mean, just watching it, as you were watching it, you're like, oh, the optics of this are just not good for Chris Curtis. Yeah. And constantly thought, you know, like, this is probably go to Brendan Allen every single time.
And it did. So yeah. And it looks like Chris Curtis may have tore his hamstring at the end too.
He definitely
insult to injury. Yes. So that, if you enter to a dating song at this time and age, then
did you see the excuse for that?
No. What did you say? I didn't hear it.
So he put out a post clarifying that. He said he sent the UFC a choice for the song he wanted to walk out to, and they said nah, that he couldn't walk out to that song. And he was all mad about it because he was like, it just had a cuss word in it or something maybe that they didn't like. And he was mad that they wouldn't let him have that song. So they asked him what his second choice was. So he was like going to mess with them and send him a Diddy song. And they put it on there. They were like,
of course, it's UFC. UFC doesn't. Their president slaps his wife in public. So yeah.
But they stopped the other one. I don't know what the problem with the other one was. He mentioned the name of the song. I'd never heard it before. I'm not a music.
We're cool player. Though, Gumby. You should know. We're cool.
I don't think so.
I thought his explanation for it was going to be, I'm Sean Strickland's friend. Come on, what do you expect from me? Come on, dude. I'm going to be problematic. That's just the way it goes.
That'd be a decent excuse.
Yep. Good fight. Gumby is mad that Brendan Allen called for a title shot. He says,
"Yeah, no dude, way no, there's no way he can take it.
It's middleweight. And, come on."
I mean, you know who took umbrage? If you
you did
such a word. You know who took umbrage with that call out was Marvin Vettori. Was like, dude, you just got pieced up by Chris Curtis. Like, nah, it's not happening, dude. Because Vettori. That's the other thing. Like, even if you want to say that Brendan Allen did enough to win that fight, and I'm fine with that argument, right? Like, I think Chris Curtis did more, but like, it wasn't egregious one way or the other. And if you want to say that Brendan Allen wins that fight, you can't say that that fight made him look good at the end of it. Because he damn near did lose a fight to a guy who took a fight on, you know, 10 days notice and is, what, 6 years older than him? Like, that's not a good look. And he was the one who took all the damage in the fight. So, yeah, I would say do not give that man a title shot next.
But it's middleweight, so who really cares, right?
I mean, when you have Israel Adesanya as a potential number one contender.
Sounds like that's happening.
Even Jared Cannonier or something like that. Like, Jared Cannonier would murder that guy. I'm not here for the Brendan Allen title shot talk.
Yeah, it sounds like Izzy DDP UFC 302 is what it's been rumored for, I think. That's the rumor. It makes sense. All right, before we move on, Gummy takes a big chug. Now he's going to rush and put cut on your screen if you're on YouTube. Wait for it. There it is. Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users in sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. And they have tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for money. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the rewards are you get cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. Get on there, check out the custom bets that the SGPN team have up there, and you can do all that by downloading Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's K-U-T-T.com. And use promo code SGPN for 10% deposit bonus. Plus, Underdog Fantasy, our friends at Underdog Fantasy, have the easiest place. They are the easiest place, excuse me, to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. If you don't know how it works, you can pick basically any sport. If you're watching YouTube, you see MMA on your screen. They do have UFC, any sport, go on there, pick between 2 and 5 players, participants, fighters, whatever. Find a stat category that they're offering there, pick higher or lower. And if you hit enough of those 100, you can win 100 times your money in a single night. If you want some NBA advice, Gumby and I write Underdog NBA articles every day on the website sportsgamblingpodcast.com. So if you want to make a basketball one, we are there to help you. So if all that sounds good, and why would it not? Sign up today with our promo code MMASGPN. Make sure you use that code MMASGPN to make us look good to the bosses and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick 'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code MMASGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick 'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with the play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Okie dokie. Let's go through these fights a bit quicker. The never bald Damon Jackson, he never was bald. He never was losing his hair.
Came back just like his hair did. Everyone's crazy
thinking that he was bald before he beat Alex Hernandez. Alex Hernandez, he's not very likable, is he?
No, I've always, like, all the way from the Cowboy Cerrone fight, I think that's when I really started to dislike him, when he was like, what did he say at that Cowboy Cerrone fight? That, I mean, like, he just crap talked Donald Cerrone, and say what you want about Cerrone, skill-wise, like, he was always, like, a super nice dude, so, not particularly likable. Damon Jackson is, no. So I didn't mind missing the pick.
Yeah. No, he's less likable now that he made me. I get mad if I lose any picks, but yeah. Anyhow, Damon Jackson, good guy. He won 20. Here we go with the screw scorecards. 27-30, 29-28, 29-28. Crazy, crazy. Was that our friend? Our friend was 27-30, right?
I think that was the other one was Adelaide Bird going.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't even think this one was her.
Anyhow, I don't know what to say about this fight. It was okay.
Yeah, a couple of featherweights who probably won't factor in anything that we're interested in the near future.
No, it was Derek Minor. You're right. Derek Minor had it wrong. So everyone, yeah. Judges.
There's a different Adelaide Bird 30-27 coming up.
Yeah, that's right. Wait for it, people. You know who didn't have any screwy scorecards go in last night? Chris Lieben. I guarantee he didn't have any screwy Chris scorecards Lieben. Last night. Yeah, he knows what he's talking about.
Love Chris Lieben. Ridiculous. One of my favorites all time.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Featherweight. This was a good fight. Even if this is the one that most media members pick Morgan Charrier as a winner of this fight. But it doesn't matter what any of us think. Jose Mariscal won a split decision. 29-28, 30, 27-30. There it is. There's our friend. And then 29-28. Very good fight. Fight of the night fight. I probably left more impressed with Charrier than Mariscal. I thought Charrier won the fight. Not just because I had him picked and Gumby had Mariscal at +120, but good fight. Mariscal quietly is 3-0 in the UFC now. So there you go.
Including a short notice up a weight class, like 3 days notice against Trevor Peak, which is a sick fight. Right. I thought Chepe did more all across the board. I mean, like anytime there was a grappling exchange, he was on the top part of that. The striking, I don't know. Did it slightly favor Charrier? I don't even know that it slightly
damaged it, I think.
Maybe.
His face looked better after the fight.
but I'm pretty sure Mariscal has just got one of those faces that bleeds. You know what I mean? Like, he's been fighting for a billion years. Like, have you ever gone back through that dude's record? It's insane the guys he fought on the regional scene from, like, featherweight and lightweight. Like, he had already fought... He had already fought Yusef Zalal before he got to the UFC. And I think I want to say Pat Sabatini. Oh, no, Gregor Gillespie. That's the one. Gregor Gillespie on the regional scene. Like, he fought a ton of dudes. And so I think he's probably just got one of those faces that's, like, damaged from the long haul and bleeds. Because I actually thought he landed better on Charrier most of the time. And then, like, I thought he did better in the grappling exchanges. Because anytime Charrier was on top, he did some kind of weird judo flip and wound up in a better position. Give me more Chepe. He's so damn exciting to watch. I'll take his fights all the time.
And I say give me more Charrier. I enjoy him as well. I think he's good.
Yeah. I think it's wild that two of the guys who have fought over the last 2 weeks and won over the last 2 weeks on Cage Warriors. Both have wins over him and haven't lost since, for the most part, and aren't in the UFC.
Yep. I know. How is this man a lightweight? Is what I'm saying. Every time I see him step in the cage,
he's so big.
Paul Mundus. Not only like he's 6'1", which is obviously super tall for 155 pounds, but he's like not skinny either anymore.
Like, yeah, I don't know. Like Daniel Zellhuber do it. It's the only thing separating him from Daniel Zellhuber in my mind is that he's like a little bit bigger.
How does he do it? Maybe his lower body, I guess. Maybe his lower body's not that. I'm trying to think. I know upper body, he's pretty solid.
Still kind of big. Yeah. Hell of a head kick.
Hell of a head kick. Christos.
But exactly what we thought would happen to Christos Giagos, right? It's like he's they keep feeding him to these like young, tall Latin American kickboxers, and like he's a good wrestler, but like he just can't get on the inside of those guys. So you know, bad matchup for him. Good that Bahamondes did exactly what he needed to.
Yeah, hopefully he can start making some noise at lightweight. He's only 26. Interesting, you know, with his size and his skills. Very interesting guy to keep an eye on. So, do you have anyone in mind? I'm putting you on the spot. Anyone who you think
somebody said have him fight Zellhuber, but I think they're friends, so I don't think you're gonna see that happen. I mean, he needs to keep fighting these guys who are like kind of wrestlers to make sure that he can deal with it too, right? Because like you don't want him, you know, blasting up the rankings, fighting the Bobby Greens of the world, so to speak, and then like have him all of a sudden in there with Armin Sakurian and like, oh wait, hang on a second, I can't defend a takedown. So I want to see him against more like wrestler types on his way up.
We were both in on Bahamondes, which was nice. We were both in on the opener of the main card, Charlie Campbell as well. He beat one of our favorites, Trevor Peak. Unanimous decision, 30-27 across the board. Yeah. Both this was closer than 30-27. Charlie Campbell, this was a big test for him to pass, and he passed it with flying colors. I think he survived.
I don't know that it was closer than 30-27, rather than just like every single round you had to like bite down on your sweatshirt because you were worried that like all of a sudden Trevor Peak was gonna throw something just absolutely bonkers. But no, like it was clear he won every single round and had done so fairly handedly. I was more worried that he was actually gonna get the finish at some point in time in there, because luckily Trevor Peak is just like the toughest dude on the whole planet. So plus 450 on that decision prop, ladies and gents.
Yep. Not too shabby at all there. That was Gumby's big hit right there. So so that was the main card. I hit 3 of 5. Gumby hit 3 of 5 as well. Excuse me. So we shall move on after I tell you about a new sponsor. Exciting. A new person on the show, AVO. We're proud to partner up with AVO, the premier sports betting arbitrage tool. If you're new to arbitrage sports betting, it's very simple. Basically betting both sides of a bet at two different sports books to lock in a profit. People were talking about that last night on the on our Discord, having the two fighters in the fight at different odds. The AVO tool scans the sports books looking for discrepancies in the odds and then tells you how much money you need to place with each sports book and the expected profit. The tool is super easy to use and lightning fast, as speed is a big part of arbitrage sports betting. Best part is AVO is currently free to use without restrictions. That's right, completely free. Get started today at ARBSVS odds. So it's ARBSVSODDS.com. 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 And that is all for me. Okay. Prelims. We basically already talked about this fight. Alex Morono took care of Court McGee, 29-28 across the board. Both guys looked okay. I don't think we had Morono minus 290. I don't think is McGee ever in danger of being cut, you think? Or is he one of those guys that just let stick around?
I think he'll show himself the door if it starts to get bad. He strikes me as the type who, he's got his own gym now, and you know, he's got kids who are like damn near high school age at this point. Like I think at having lost 3 in a row, he gave his neck a try here. I think we see him in there one more time. He comes out on victorious. I think he shows himself the door.
All right, there you go. So we hit that one. Did not hit the next one. I warned everyone in advance. I picked him to win, but I warned you. The Vulture Walker is not very good.
He's bad.
And if you lose to Lucas Bradsky, you're not very good. 29-28 across the board. he's like we warned you. He's very plodding on the feet, but you know, decent grappler, pretty heavy on the ground, but that wasn't enough to get past the juggernaut that is Lucas Bradsky.
two things on this. First of all, if he just let go with his hands on the mat, he would have won this fight. You know, a couple of times he did, and it looked like he was doing tons of damage. I don't know if he would have gotten Breschke out of there, but he would have been hard enough to sway some rounds. And then the other thing is I love that when this fight ended, Michael Bisping was like, I can't wait to see Lucas Breschke in there again after all these changes he's made. And it was like, nah, dude, they just booked him against a slower guy. great announcing.
Yeah, not much to say about this fight. Both guys suck. Sorry, guys. You're better fighters than I am, but you're not. Yeah, not very good to watch fight, at least. This fight, not bad. We got it wrong. Norma Dumont ground out a win over Jermaine Duranemi. It was a typical Norma Dumont win. She didn't really do anything, and she won, you know. Controlled Jermaine Duranemi on the ground, 29-28 across the board. That got her the win. I still think Duranemi was worthy of a sprinkle at plus 155. But Dumont does what Dumont does, I guess. She did what she does.
Yeah, and we said if we got the old Jermaine Duranemi in there, this is going to look like the steal of the century. And I think on the feet, to an extent, especially in the second round, we did see the same version of her. But the problem is just like her takedown defense didn't hold up the way that it used to. And I don't know, maybe that'll come back around now that she's got her timing down a little bit more. She's back in the gym a little bit more frequently. But it also is one of those things that, like, late in your career, if it starts to slip away, it's going to stay away. So, it'll be interesting to see what they do with her moving forward. Norma Dumont finds herself in the thick of things at 135.
That's my next question. 4 straight wins and 7 of 8 now.
Yeah, I think she probably might wind up with, you know, probably the winner of Holly Holm and Kayla Harrison.
Right, that makes sense. Timing-wise, too.
Yeah, like they're right around the same timing, and I think we all know who's going to wind up with the title shot in that division. In fact, you might even see an interview coming soon that lets you know who's really going to be that next title shot at Raquel Pennington.
How would Gumby know that? An interview is coming somewhere else. How would he know? But is Norma Dumont, I guess it doesn't matter if she's good or not. She's a bantamweight. So as long as she can make bantamweight, she's fine.
I don't think she's I don't think her hands are going to hold up against any of the women in the top of that division.
She's not dangerous. Maybe she's a good grappler, but she's definitely not, like, you're not scared you're going to get knocked out fighting her.
And
or submitted, for that matter.
It doesn't feel like if somebody stuffed 2 of her takedowns and forced her to box with her, it doesn't feel like she would beat Pennington or Holm or Macy Chason even. Like, I don't think
she lost to her once, so yeah.
Yeah, I don't think she'd be any of those women if they forced her to stand with her.
Yeah. Luckily, this fight was mostly a standing battle. It was a good fight at bantamweight. Victor Hugo, striker. I had Gumby had Pedro Falcao. Played out the way, you know, we thought about it. Falcao was nonstop trying to grapple. Hugo actually showed some solid grappling. He was good on the feet as well. 30-27, 29-28, 29-28. Falcao held up, making his UFC debut on short notice. But I'm glad Hugo won because I had him at minus 130.
Yeah, Falcao is the better fighter in that fight. That fight, give him a full training camp. I'm happy with the handicap the way I had it. Obviously you're supposed to factor in the short notice thing, but he was pretty damn close to winning that fight anyway, even on short notice. So, I think you give him a full training camp, run that one back, and you pick Falcao 9 times out of 9.
I had this one Gumby, and then I didn't. This one was, I thought it was going to start off the night with 3 straight dogs, but Dan Argueta got himself submitted with 1 second left in the second round. Jean Matsumoto's guillotine choke must be that tough that Argueta. I guess basically you saw when you let him go.
He was out.
Yeah, he was just coming back to then. So sadly, Argueta, this one played out the way I was hoping it would. You know, he was grinding the youngster down, like would not let up on Matsumoto, but ended up getting himself choked out. So a good test passed by Matsumoto here.
Yeah, I think so. Matsumoto dealt with the worst kind of matchup for him and did so. I mean, like, not that Argueta didn't get some work done on the mat, but, like, you know, Matsumoto bounced back up after every single one of those moments and then found his moment. You know, it felt a lot for me like Carlos Prachis's debut, where you were like, oh man, he didn't really look all that good in the first. And it seemed like maybe he was just biding his time for the right moment to do what he needed to do and get that finish. And he did so.
Yes, sirree. Good fight there. Middleweights. This one went the way we wanted it to. Cesar Almeida. TKO punches Dylan Budka 213 into the second round. Got himself taken down a few times, but showed, you know, decent enough get up ability, which is what you're going to need if you're a kickboxer and you looking to knock everyone's head off. We thought Almeida was going to be a steal at +135, so we had him as our dog of the week, and he was a steal at +135.
And had his KO probably +400. It's a shame he didn't make the crossover into MMA earlier.
Yeah.
Because the guy's got a lot of potential. And unfortunately probably won't progress far past where he is right now. But hey, then again, it's middleweight.
You never know, right?
Maybe
book him. Don't give him any more wrestlers, though, please.
Book him with Brendan Allen next week.
Yeah. No, don't give him no grapplers. Just give him strikers. Just strikers here on out. In the agreed upon catchweight bout, according to the ladies, 138.5 pounds. Nora, the great Cornholie came through for me over Melissa Mullins. TKO, knee to the body, and then head kicks, numerous head kicks. To finish this fight, 306 into the second round. Fantastic. I had Cornholie at +280.
Her kickboxing played up a lot better than it did in her first fight. And I know she won her first fight, but I kind of left that fight being like, maybe her kickboxing wasn't as good as it was in the regional scene. And maybe that was just some like octagon jitters, because this looked back to being super dangerous and probably should be knocking out even some of these ranked women's bantamweights pretty darn soon. Cause Mullins is tough. She couldn't really get her to the mat with any kind of prolonged, you know, success rate. She couldn't really clinch her up the way she wanted to. Yeah. It was like really good looks by Cornholie there. So, I think we're going to see a lot more of her soon.
And we like her, so that's good. It's a good thing.
She's super sweet.
Yep. She's probably going to be, if Mullins was ranked, you probably think Cornholie is going to be ranked now after two wins. It seems to be the way you weird voters do it. Oh, you.
I mean, who would you like me to rank instead of her? Which, you know, like I'll bring you the list no if names. You want it.
Women's bantamweight. I have no names. No, I would be quite happy if she was ranked. No problem here. All right, so there you go. I went 7-5, won $161. Fantastic. Gumby 6-6, lost $164. So on the year, I'm at 58%. Gumby's at 52%, and I am only down $756. Gumby's down almost $2,000, $1,978 to be exact. But
okay, there's still time.
There's still time.
Gumby and I hit all the fancies.
Yes, Bahamondes lock, Almeida dog, Campbell decision +450, nailed it. I had Rodriguez as my lock. That fight fell through. Almeida as my dog. A Moreno knockout did not come through, but it was close. It was close. So, and as for the winners of the bonuses, Jose Mariscal, Morgan Charrier, fight of the night, Bahamondes, Almeida, performances of the night. So $50,000 each for them. And UFC Apex event coming up this weekend, Gumby, again, right? Oh, they're in Vegas.
No, we're finally in the stadium.
Oh, UFC 300, T-Mobile Arena, the greatest fight card ever. I'll read it to you. And then we'll get out of here. Pereira, Jamal Hill is our main event of you. Jamal Hill, who was in the UFC Apex last night, like he always is, in the main event.
He lives there. I think he has a I think he does.
UFC 300. Co-main event, even though they barely even mentioned this fight, Zhang Weili versus Yan Xiaonan for the women's strawweight fight. They always mention the next fight first. The BMF title fight, Justin Gaethje, Max Holloway. The title is a joke, but this fight will not be a joke. Charles Oliveira, Armin Sarukian, and then for some reason, Bo Nickel, Cody Brundage. That shouldn't be on the main card.
Wait, hang on. It's high fight IQ, Cody Brundage, though.
Oh,
so it belongs. It belongs at a pay-per-view.
Right. He says he belongs on the main card, so there you go. Synopsis of any of that quickly? We probably talked about it enough, right?
High fight IQ, Cody Brundage. That's
it. True. All right. The main prelims on ESPN. Light heavyweights, Yuri Prochazka, Alexander Hrekic. Calvin Kattar, Aljamain Sterling, Holly Holm, Kayla Harrison, Sadiq Youssef, Diego Lopez. Thoughts there?
Love seeing Diego Lopez get a chance to step up. Interested to see Rakic back. Love the idea of seeing what Aljamain Sterling can do at featherweight. Yeah, just like a fun set of prelims.
You would think they'd have Harrison behind the paywall, but they don't. All right, early prelims. Jalen Turner, Hanato Moicano. That's basically a Apex main event right there.
That's a sick fight.
Yeah, if they made good Apex main events, that would be one. Jessica Andrade, Marina Rodriguez, a couple fighters past their best days, but Should be a good fight regardless. Bobby Green, Jim Miller. These guys may be past their best days, but it doesn't matter. Then Deiveson Figueiredo, Cody Garbrandt. I heard that, I think it was 10% of every UFC champion ever is on this fight card.
That's 10% pretty
badass. Of every champ. So it is the greatest fight card ever, right?
And 10% of the wins that have happened in the UFC too, because they all belong to Jim Miller at this point.
Yes, exactly. Thoughts on the early prelims?
I'm really glad Jim Miller got a spot on there. Yeah. Cody Brundage versus, Cody Garbrandt versus Deiveson Figueiredo is like the ultimate, like, which one of these guys is just going to uncork on a right hand the fastest, which is a great way to start the night.
Yep. Definitely. I hope they have a backup fighter lined up for Miller just in case. Because like they do with main event championship fights, Jim Miller can't miss this card. So they have to have.
Well, and also, lineup. You know, this fight has fallen off like four different cards
before. Yeah. He's worried that it's going to fall off again. Yeah. That's why they better have a backup fighter, because we can't have Jim Miller missing this fight. And then what? UFC 400 will be less than 10 years, right?
Yeah.
It'll be
probably eight years from now. No, he says he's got five more fights after this. You may or may not be able to hear him this week on the Top Turtle MMA podcast.
Whoa. Speaking of that, make sure you listen to Gummy's other podcast, the Top Turtle MMA podcast. You may get to hear from Jim Miller on that. Make sure you get in my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. I will have a pick 'em running, of course, for UFC 300. Make sure you follow us on YouTube. Money MMA is the channel. Not Money MMA, that's my Substack. MMA Gambling. We bring you money though, but MMA Gambling is the YouTube you want. What else? The Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. The Twitter, SGPN MMA, Jeff Fox Writer, Gumby Vreeland, Jeff Fox Writer on Instagram. Of course, our mothership, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store, so you can get cool gear like we wear. You want to be cool like the cool guys, and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon, so we can crush the corporate gambling overlords. All right, we're going to be back tomorrow. We have back-to-back regional episodes coming up Monday and Tuesday again. So get ready for that. It will be, who will it be, you ask? It'll be the Crusher, Jeff Fox. It'll be the Immortal Gumby Vreeland, and we will talk to you then. Bye.